This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
When something happens in South Central Los Angeles, nothing happens. It's just another nigga dead.
Straight out of Compton, crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube. From the gang called Niggas with Attitudes. When I'm called off, I got a sawed off. Squeeze a trigger and bodies are hauled off. You too, boy, if you fuck with me. The police are gonna have to come and get me off your ass. That's how I'm going out. For the punk motherfuckers that's showing out. Niggas want the muffle. They wanna rumble. Mix a man, cook them in a pot like gumbo. Going off on the motherfucker like that. With a cat, that's pointed at your ass. So give it up smooth. Ain't no telling when I'm down for a jack move. Here's a murder rap to keep ya dancing. With a crime record like Charles Manson. AK-47 is a tool. Don't make me act a motherfucking fool. Me and you can go toe to toe, no mate. I'm knocking niggas out the box daily. Yo, weekly, monthly, and yearly. Until them dumb motherfuckers see clearly that I'm down with the capital CBT. Boy, you can't fuck with me. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck. Cause Ice Cube is crazy as fuck. As I leave, believe I'm starving. But when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of Compton.
What's up?
Tell them where you from.
Straight out of Compton. Another crazy ass nigga. When punks I smoke, yo, my rep gets bigger. I'm a bad motherfucker and you know this. But the pussy ass niggas won't show this. But I don't give a fuck, I'ma make my snaps. If not from the records, from jacking across, it's like burglary. The definition is jacking. But when illegally armed, it's called packing. Shoot a motherfucker in a minute. I find a good piece of pussy and go up in it. So if you had a show in the front row, I'ma call you a bitch or a dirty ass hoe. You probably get mad like a bitch is supposed to. But that shows me slut talking post to a crazy motherfucker from the street. Attitude legit, cause I'm tearing up shit. MC Ren controls are automatic. For any dumb motherfucker, it starts static. Not a right hand, cause I'm a hand itself. Every time I pull an AK off the shelf, security is maximum, and that's a law. REN spells red, but I'm wrong. See, cause I'm the motherfucking villain. The definition is clear, you're the witness of a killing that's taking place without a clue. And once you're on the scope, your ass is through. Look, you might take it as a trip, but a nigga like Ren is on the gangster tip. Straight out of Compton.
His name and the boys coming
straight out of Compton. It's a brother that'll smother your mother and make your sister think I love her. Dangerous motherfucker raising hell. And if I ever get caught, I make bail. See, I don't give a fuck. That's the problem. I see a motherfucking cop, I don't dodge him. But I'm smart, lay low, free for a while. And when I see the punk man, I smile. To me, it's kind of funny. The attitude's show a nigga driving, but don't know where the fuck he going, just rolling. Looking for the one they call easy. But here's a flash. They never see me ruthless, never seen like a shadow in the dark. Except when I unload, you see a spark jump over a hesitation. And hear the scream of the one who got the last penetration. Feel a little gust of wind and I'm jet. Believe a memory, no one will be forgetting. So what about the bitch who got shot? Fucker, you think I give a damn about a bitch? I ain't a sucker. This is an autobiography of the E. And if you ever fuck with me, you get taken by a stupid dope brother who will smother. Word to the motherfucker, stay out of Compton.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Oh my gosh, straight out of Compton. Listen, Clark is flying solo today. Johanna James is not here. So now I kind of know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to kind of go solo. But listen, so first things first. Firstly, I just want to say fuck the weather, because it was sunny outside. I get on the train and all of a sudden I come out pouring with rain. So that's the first thing I want to say. Secondly, I'm supposed to be doing this show with Shanika Warren Markland, but typically in diva fashion, Shanika Warren Markland is late. So that's the next thing. Right now, before they're just fiddling with the camera in here, it's winding me up. Before we go on to anything else, we have a competition. There's a competition that we are hosting on FUBAR Radio, Back Row and Chill, Johanna James and Noel Clark, as always. And this competition for you guys is to win. Wait for it. Is to win Wonder Woman goodies, a prize bundle. So this prize bundle includes gauntlets and a tiara and a keyring, right? So I mean, who doesn't want a tiara? You know, you can wear it yourself. You can let your missus wear it or your fella wear it. You know, there's gauntlets, which are fancy names for bracelets, and a keyring to adorn your keys and make them special Wonder Woman keys. I mean, that sounds brilliant. All you have to do is go to FUBAR Radio's Twitter page, at FUBAR Radio. Give them a follow, if you're not following them already, which you should be, and retweet the picture that they are posting right now. Retweet that picture that they're posting right now and at FUBAR's Twitter, at FUBAR Radio, and make sure you're following them, and you could win these Wonder Woman goodies, tiara, gauntlets, and a keyring. And that was straight out of Compton by, of course, NWA. Now, if you guys have not seen that film, you need to see that film. That is an absolutely brilliant film, and of course, based upon the life and times of NWA, who made brilliant music. It has been a great week for film. The Cannes Film Festival has just finished, and also we've had lots of new films that are going to be released this week. Some of the films that are going to be released this week are, of course, we've got Baywatch, director Seth Gordon, I've no idea who that is, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Zac Abdominal Efron, Priyanka Chopra, and a bunch of other people. Now, I used to watch Baywatch when I was a kid. I used to watch Baywatch with David Hasselhoff and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it was, I don't know if you guys did. If you used to watch Baywatch, please do email in. Email in to chill@fubarradio.com. That is chill@fubarradio.com. I used to watch Baywatch and I thought it was a pretty decent but rubbish show, if you know what I mean. One of those shows that you watch kind of like, but it wasn't great. Especially when you rewatch it when you're older. But I was kind of excited for the film. I thought, oh, this is going to be cool. They're going to make it, you know, quite thrilling and blah, 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 and they're going to save lives in the water. And my understanding is that it's a comedy. So I'm not really sure how I feel about that. I'm not really sure how I feel about my love for Baywatch being mocked and turned into a comedy. But Zac Efron has a good body. He's getting close to a Clark-type body. The Rock is also getting arms as good as almost as good as mine, so I'm happy for these guys. And I think it hasn't done too well in America. I think it's not doing too well in America at the moment, and I don't really know what it's going to do here. But if you like that sort of thing and you want to see The Rock and Zac Efron with their tops off, Baywatch is out. Also, Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman 3D, it says, but does anyone really care about 3D anymore? I don't know. I don't. I definitely don't. It messes up my eyes. Wonder Woman is out. Now, I'm super excited about this film. DC never seemed to get any films right. I'm sorry, DC. I'm a big comic book fan. I used to read comics. You guys do not get any films right. You got the first two Batman films right with Christian Bale. That's because Nolan did them. And by the third one, I think he was kind of bored, because honestly, the third one, I'm not sure. Superman, I love Superman. Film wasn't good. Batman vs. Superman, not good. Green Arrow, not good. Sorry, not Green Arrow. That's a TV show. Green Lantern, Ryan Reynolds, not good. So, but I'm excited about this. I'm excited about Wonder Woman. I've heard it's good. I'm hoping DC can finally get on the same path with the same skills as Marvel, because I think their films are a lot better, even though DC does television a lot better. So, Wonder Woman. Go see Wonder Woman. Another film that's out is also Daughters of the Dust. Now, this is an alternative thing, but I think it's something that, you know, people should take a look at. It is a film that is kind of, you know, it broke new ground with black women on screen and inspires filmmakers and audiences alike. It seems like it's more of a documentary type movie. I'm a bit confused here because I've not actually seen this. But anyway, alternative viewing, Daughters of the Dust. I have no idea what it is, to be honest, but go check that out. Other interesting news this week is the Cannes Film Festival. As we know, the Cannes Film Festival came out and there was a lot of exciting things going on there. We, interestingly, had a weird sort of irony in the film festival, because I think this is important. Jessica Chastain, who is a wonderful actress, someone that everyone should respect, one of the best actresses in the world, said she found the portrayal of women at the Cannes Film Festival disturbing. And I think what she means by disturbing was she was on the jury this year, so she watched 20 films in 10 days, which is sometimes what you have to do when you're in a jury. And she felt like the representation of women was not good. There wasn't enough women in the stories, and of course when the women were in the stories, they weren't provocative enough, they didn't have their own agency, and they just reacted to the men around them and didn't really have their own point of view. And I think if that really is the case in 2017, then more needs to be done, but I think we kind of know that already. So the irony, of course, is that then, and I wouldn't say this was because of those comments, but then the person who won Best Director, of course, at Cannes Film Festival was Sofia Coppola. She was awarded the jury award, making her the first female to do so since 1961. So sisters doing it for themselves, man. Like, I think that's a disgrace that she's the first woman since 1961. But I think what's probably happened is, because of what Jessica Chastain is saying, is there is not enough women that are getting to make films at the level that are seen in the Cannes Film Festival. And I don't know what we do about that. I really don't know what we do about that, apart from the obvious of saying, well, let's give more women a chance. I mean, you want people to be good enough, not just be given opportunities for no reason. But at the same time, if women are not getting opportunities, then they need to get opportunities. This leads me on to another interesting thing, which happened recently too, which was, of course, Emma Watson, who won the MTV Award for Best Actor, said that acting categories shouldn't be... We talked about this last week. Acting categories, or the week before, acting categories shouldn't be separated between men and women. There should just be Best Actor and then Best Supporting Actor, and, you know, a man or woman should be able to get that. Let me start out by saying I love Emma Watson. I really do. I think she's done really well. She's flying and stuff like that. And I love where she's going with this idea. I think equality is something that we all want. I definitely know that if I had a daughter, I'd want her to grow up feeling that she could achieve anything and do anything and all that. Here's the issue with that. Currently, roles in the UK are 7-1. For every one role that a woman gets, 7 men get a role. So if you suddenly take away 2 awards from the awards categories, as in you don't have Best Actor and Best Actress, you only have Best Actor or Best Performance and one person get it, and you only have Best Supporting and one person get it, I mean, surely you're narrowing the odds of women winning awards, because most of the juries are men, most of the memberships are men. And so how would, if suddenly you had Casey Affleck and all those guys at the Oscars up against the women at the Oscars, 7-1 with only 5 nominations, how many? You might not even get enough nominations for the women. So I love what Emma Watson's doing. I think it's a really great thing that she's saying. But I just think we should be wary of, you know, it's fine for her because she has millions of dollars. She's got her award. She's up there winning awards. I don't want women to be frozen out. And I think that if you had 2 less awards, there's a high chance that women would be frozen out completely. And I don't want that to happen. So for me right now, I'm all for keeping 4 awards. Just got an email in here. Hi, Noel. This is my first time listening to your show. Already really enjoying it. I find it interesting what you're saying about Wonder Woman and Jessica Chastain. Who are your favourite female actors that are currently working in the UK? I'm a big fan of Gemma Arterton and Rosamund Pike, Stacey from Stacey in Birmingham. Thank you, Stacey. Glad that you're listening. Well, Jessica Chastain is one of my favourite female actresses, definitely. Also Amy Adams, I think. And Jennifer Connelly. I absolutely love Jennifer Connelly. I had a crush on her from when she was in Labyrinth. You should look that film up, Stacey. You're probably too young to remember Labyrinth, but she did a film called Labyrinth when I was in my teens, I think, and I used to crack them out over Jennifer Connelly, man, like massively. Massively. I probably like 8 billion kids have been gone of mine because of Jennifer Connelly. So yeah, she's absolutely fantastic. And as I've got older, I've just loved everything she's done. You know, she was in A Beautiful Mind. I think she won an Oscar for that. One of her best performances was Requiem for a Dream. So you should look up Jennifer Connelly and her stuff. Ignore Incredible Hulk. Just pretend that didn't happen. But other than that, she's absolutely fantastic actress. Female actors working in the UK. Olivia Colman. I think we have to go there. Young people, Ella Purnell. Ella Purnell, great actress. And yeah, I think also I quite like Rosamund Pike as well, and Emily Blunt. I mean, she's kind of working more US, but Emily Blunt is an absolute ledge. So I think those are my ones. Thank you, Stacey. Right, so that's me for the minute. I think we are going to go to a little bit of music now. In the meantime, I'm going to wait for Shanika and cuss her the fuck out when she gets here late. Back row and chill.
Sets backward, but then I came through four. Man's never brought Jake to my mum's door. Man's trying to put peas in my mum's purse. Man's trying to mash peas off of one burst. I was doing MacD's with the footwork. Never been an athlete, man, it just burst. Then I never had peas, I was all cursed. Brothers in a cat B feeling all hurt. Now I spit bars and raves and man pull it. Everything they wanted to do, now I do it. Everything you say in your bars, I went through it. I was trying to kick the shots at Rude Hullet. I was trying to kick the shots at Van Basten. I'm doing Outlook soon, I'll do Glaston. Grime heads running around cause I gassed them. Brothers want a lyrical war and I'll blast them. No go through boy, I want an Aston. Who are these the guys, I wanna cast them. All the pengers on road, I'm gonna catch them. All the hitters calling my names, I'm gonna back them. No go through boy, I wanna Aston. Who are these actor guys, I wanna cast them. All the pengers on road, I'm gonna catch them. All the hitters calling my name, I'm gonna back them. Man, hear my bars in a runway. You wanna burst, then you better bring 1K. I do gram cars, I don't do fun K. Run through the club to spend there, but I'm on K. Gal, hear my bars in their gas. If you wanna feature, bring me them racks. I was in West putting work on a map. Now I'm trying to build a life, putting work on the tracks. They wanna knock man down, but I'm still right here when I'm fighting. Full belly, and I keep coming back strong like a Viking. I done spent time in the mountains, man's been hiking. They just wanna see man fool, but I'm still here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. What's still a fight on? Man's been riding, something like a ride on. I'm not any side dish you could ride on. Think that you're really on job, you could try it on. Yeah, maniac, that's my don. Low grass round me, watch for the python. I'll never let a bygone be a bygone. New brothers need a PC you could type on. I need GBP by the mountain. Marble floors, palm trees and a fountain. You ain't gonna scare no one, keep shouting. Everyone asleep on, man, keep doubting. I'm gonna do this, man's gonna prove it. I ain't never touched it, if I can't move it. Common sense gone, cause these brothers don't use it. If I hear another miss drop, I'ma lose it. Man, hear my bars in a runway. You wanna verse, then you better bring 1K. I do gram cars, I don't do fun K. Run through the club to spend there, but I'm on K. Gal, hear my bars in their gas. If you wanna feature, bring me them racks. I was in West putting work on a map. Now I'm trying to build a life, putting work on the tracks. They wanna knock man down, but I'm still right here when I'm fighting. Full belly, and I keep coming back strong like a Viking. I done spent time in the mountains, man's been hiking. They just wanna see man fool, but I'm still here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock man. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm still right here when I'm fighting. Full belly, and I keep coming back strong like a Viking. I done spent time in the mountains, man's been hiking. They just wanna see man cool, but I'm still here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. Belly, and I keep coming back strong like a Viking. I done spent time in the mountains, man's been hiking. They just wanna see man fool, but I'm still here fighting.
Pooh Bar Radio presents
Sarah Love and My Sticky.
Josh, welcome to the studio. You've started something called Rise Up.
I have, yeah. We're just trying to reach out to young people in the UK and trying to get them to register. Only 40% of young people are voting right now.
Why do you think young people need to vote?
A lot of the policies that are happening at the moment, they're kind of favouring the people that do vote. They're not treating young people very well in this country, and it's because they don't vote. So if you ain't making yourself heard, then whoever's in power ain't going to take any notice of you.
Every Monday,
Sarah Love and My Sticky.
From 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Yo, that was AJ Tracy and Fighting from a film called Brotherhood. I'm quite partial to that film. If you've not seen it, you should get out and see it. And that is one of the best tracks on the soundtrack. AJ Tracy, produced by my man Maniac. You gotta watch the film, get the soundtrack, listen to that track. Speaking of AJ Tracy, before I get into some more film news, he's recently been posting on his and talking about the trailer we just had there about voting. AJ Tracy's been posting about voting, and you young people out there listening, you definitely need to get voting. You need to vote because that election's coming up. And you look at these people like Theresa May. You look at her, how does she relate to you? She don't give a fuck. She doesn't give a fuck. Like, get voting, go out and put your voice, make your voice heard. Make your voice heard. Anyway, that was because of AJ Tracy and him doing that and the link and blah blah blah. My mind goes on tangent sometimes. Anyway, back to film news. So David Lynch, curator of Twin Peaks, reckons that movie trailers are really harmful. So he's been saying this recently. He says movie trailers are really harmful. You know, these days, movie trailers basically tell the whole story. I think it's really harmful. For me personally, I don't want to know anything when I go into the theatre. I like to discover it and get into the world and get a good picture as possible, no interruptions. So he's basically saying that when trailers come out, they spoil the movie and that shouldn't be happening. Now, here's the thing. You're David Lynch, mate. People are going to watch your stuff anyway. You created Twin Peaks. People are going to watch your stuff. You can have your trailer as obscure as you want it to be because people are going to go and see David Lynch work. Other people, David Lynch, like me, need trailers to encourage people to go see our work. So please don't sit on your high horse talking about trailers being really harmful. I'm in agreement that I don't want anything spoiled. I don't want to go there and know the whole plot and know all the surprises and all the twists and turns. But if I don't see a trailer that tells me something, how do I know I want to go and see the movie? So David Lynch needs to chill the fuck out and basically keep making his stuff that people want to see. He doesn't need trailers because he's already a legend and he can do that. But you know what? Other people need trailers. And as long as they are not spoiling too much, I think we should have movie trailers. And of course, since the studios are the studios and they're not going to listen to anyone anyway, trailers are going to keep happening. So that very soon we have Gareth O'Connor in the studio. He'll be coming in very soon. And he is a wonderful actor that is starring in Danny and the Deep Blue Sea. So we're going to be talking to Gareth very shortly. Another thing that's happened in the world of film, because this is a film show, in case you didn't know, and keep emailing me questions if you've got any more, like Stacey did, is actress Chloe Grace Moretz. For those of you who don't know, she played Hit Girl in the film Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass 2. And is there a... I think they were going to do a Hit Girl movie at some point. I don't know if that's still happening. we'll have to ask Mark Miller. Somebody tweet him and ask him. But anyway, she is starring in a new animated film called Red Shoes and the Seven Dwarfs. And recently they put the poster out and it featured a tall, slim Red Shoes, who is, I guess, Snow White, but they're calling her Red Shoes. And then and then next to it had a short, chubby Red Shoes. And the poster said, tagline poster said, "What if Snow White was no longer beautiful and the Seven Dwarfs were not so short?" Now, there's been outrage about this. Outrage. And the reason there's been outrage is because suddenly they're saying that being short and chubby means you are less beautiful. And people have been chiming in. Chloe Grace Moretz got a lot of backlash on Twitter on this. The company have been really lambasted with tweets and ugly comments. And, you know, one user said, "Speaking of misogynistic and body shaming publicity in Cannes, so what does being less thin and tall equal being less beautiful?" Tess Holliday, who's a plus size model, said, "How did this get approved by an entire marketing team? Why is it okay to tell young kids that being fat equals ugly?" I gotta say, I'm with these guys. I'm with these guys, and who doesn't like a bit of junk in the trunk? You know what I'm saying? I like a big girl. We all need love. I like a skinny girl too. Hey, I just like girls. Like, let's not even go there. But I'm talking about, this is not fair. You can't be telling young children that suddenly if they're chubby that they're not beautiful or they're less beautiful. That's not fair. And so, anyway, the fans made enough noise and Chloe Moretz made enough noise that this marketing campaign was pulled immediately. So your voices were heard. One of the film producers apologized on CNN and said this advertising campaign has been terminated immediately. You know, and I think, you know, they're trying to say that there's a film about empowering women, but then the poster clearly looks like it's saying if you are short and chubby that you suddenly are less beautiful than being tall and thin, and that is just not right. And I'm glad that the marketing campaign was pulled and they should be absolutely ashamed. But if the film is about empowering women, I hope that the film kind of recovers and finds a good audience, and they should donate some of their earnings to body shaming, to any charities that deal with people that have, you know, self-harmed and all that due to body shaming and blah 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 blah. That's what they should do. And you should tell them to do that. I think that, it needs to stop. We've had another email in. All right. Hey, Noel, you know you were saying about trailers. Yes, I know. I said it 5 minutes ago, but thank you. How do you feel about spoilers on the internet? Sometimes I can't help myself looking for stuff online if I'm excited about a new film coming out. I really like your show, by the way. You're pretty honest about things. From Steve. Thank you, Steve, my man. Thank you, Steve. I respect you for sending me that email. So I think spoilers are okay. Here's the thing: I don't like spoilers online either. But if I'm super excited about something and I decide to go and watch a spoiler, then that's cool. Because if you're so excited by a film that you're going to go and watch the film anyway, then it really doesn't matter if you watch a spoiler because you're seeking it out. But I think anytime people put spoilers up, they need to tell people this contains spoilers, as you know, as become famous now, quotation mark, spoiler alert. You know, that's kind of a thing now, isn't it? So I really don't mind them, Steve, because I'm with you, man. If there's a film that I'm super excited about, I can't help myself. I might go a little sneak a spoiler and have a look, because I'm a fan of that film and I want to see. And also trailers don't bother me, but I think If people are just getting spoiled unfairly, then that's not right. But if you seek it out, then hey, fair play to you. So thanks for Steve for sending that email. Right. So now, coming up right now, we have Gareth O'Connor is going to come in the studio in a minute. He's going to come in and talk about Danny and the Deep Blue Sea. So he has just arrived, I understand. And the producers and my underlings and my minions are scurrying around to procure him. And what are we doing? Are we playing a music? We're going to play a music. This is what I call it now, a music. We're going to play another bit of music. This is a track. Now, bear in mind, it's me today. So this is all hip-hop-y stuff. And all these tracks that I'm playing have been in films. So the first one, Straight Outta Compton, of course, was Straight Outta Compton. AJ Tracy was in Brotherhood. And now we have, coming up right now, what do we have? Whisper it to me. We have Fight the Power, Public Enemy. And this was in the movie Do the Right Thing by Spike Lee. So check it out. Fight the Power. Back row chill.
Number. let's get down to business. Mental self-defense or fitness. Don't rush the show.
You got to throw the punch and no one
to make everybody see. In order to fight the powers that be. Fight the power. 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 Fight the power.
Okay, talk to me about the future of Public Enemy.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Man, oh man, Fight the Power. Public Enemy from the classic film from... greater than he is right this minute, but I still love him. Do the Right Thing, Spike Lee. Anyway, right now, we have... Gareth O'Connor in the studio.
Hello.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm very well.
Woo! Yay! Clap, 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 clap.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm flying solo today. I don't usually push the buttons and stuff. It's kind of, you know, I have a co-host and she does all the stuff and I'm kind of, she's like the straight man and then I come in and chime in. But now, today, I'm flying solo.
Shall I be your straight man?
You can be.
I'll do my best.
But you're kind of lucking out because this is really the A-team. Like, this is the A-team right here. You know what I mean? As in M-E, team me.
Yeah,
this
team
is the
you.
A-team. Right. Tell me, sir, you are in, starring in Danny and the Deep Blue Sea.
Yes.
Which is a play.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what this play is all about and tell our listeners what it is all about.
Yeah, it's a play by John Patrick Shanley and it's about two New Yorkers in the Bronx that have... a huge amount of difficulty communicating. They're just, you know, Danny fights Roberta. She expressed herself in other ways, and they find it very difficult to express their emotions, which I'm sure people can relate to in this day and age. So they meet in this bar, and they realize that there's something about each other that they sort of see in each other.
Yeah,
and it means that it sort of creates this big sort of tornado between these two people, these very strong personalities.
Yeah.
And we just see their story over, you know, 80 minutes and see them.
And what's the period of time in 80 minutes for the play, but what's the period of time in the, real time?
Yeah, it was set in, it was originally written in the 80s. So it's sort of any time, but we do feel like when we're putting touches to it, there is a bit of 80s to it.
Sure, sure.
But it is a sort of any time. These two people could be from...
Yeah, and set over how long? A week?
It's, or? Oh, just over a two-day period.
Right, right.
So they meet in the bar and then, you know... I don't want to spoil too
much.
Yeah,
of course.
But, you
yeah.
know, they move around, and then it sort of all culminates on the second day.
Yeah.
When their heads are a little clearer.
Okay, cool. And for two people that seem socially awkward, I'm mm-hmm. guessing a bar's a very social place to be. Is there a?
It's true. Well, in this case, Roberta goes there just to get out of her house, just to get out of her head, and Danny is just sort of looking for. He almost is still looking for a fight. He's just been in a fight. So he comes in, he walks into this bar, and he's this big presence. He's been, you know, he's all cut up. His jacket's been torn. And he sits down. And so you're just looking at these two people sat. And there's already a story sort of brewing in your own head. You're wondering who these two people are.
Yeah.
And like, it's a great image at the beginning of the play, and then they just get right into it.
Sounds amazing. How do you find playing Roberta with the beard and everything like
that? I know. I piss the voice up a little bit higher.
Oh, man, I love it. So how is... sorry, man, you know, I'm just like...
That's how all right,
is,
man.
How is it playing Danny? How do you find... having done plays myself, I have an Olivier, by the way. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Oh, you know, that's,
I do.
That's
I do
beautiful.
Actually have one. It's just right here in my bag.
Yeah, let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Thanks, man.
It's bigger than a normal Olivier, actually. It's
well, you know, black don't, you know. Anyway, sir, how do you find when you're playing a character like Danny? You know, because obviously I've been on stage, and you know, it can change every night depending on the audience. But mm-hmm. What's your process for young actors that are listening, or people that are kind of like, cool, man, I'd love to be in a play. Like, what's your process for channeling Danny before you go on stage or during the play? And how do you use the audience to change your performance nightly?
Well, the first thing is that we've just got an amazing director. Courtney Larkin is just incredible. Sure. She came in from the first day, and she just knows this play, you know, back to front. And she just looks at it with new eyes every time. And every time we run it, there's something else that she just sees in it. And it's always the right direction. It's always a more interesting route to go.
Yeah.
So she's amazing.
She's collaborative. Like, if you come up with ideas, she'll be like,
definitely.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. She's, you know, she's really easy to work with, and she's just. You know, but she's the voice. I trust her implicitly.
Yeah,
everything she says, I just know it's coming from a place of knowledge. She's not just going out on a whim, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
and also I've got Megan Lloyd-Jones to play across from, and she's just
fantastic.
Phenomenal. Just insane energy and, you know, wonderful actress. But the preparation is just learn the lines, you know. Learn the lines, come in, be open to figuring out who the character is and trying to, you know, give yourself an idea of why he says these things, because the lines are there. You know, the play doesn't change every night; it stays the same. So you need to ask yourself, well, why is he saying this? Why is he saying it this way? Why did he just ignore what she said and move on to something else? And then you're talking about the intentions behind all your lines, and that's what Courtney's amazing at. She just she's very good at saying, well, you know, why?
And do you? Obviously, we're in the moment. You know, again, having been on stage, I kind of dig it. I know it. But do you sometimes react to the audience? Because, you know, there's times I was doing a play once and I was like kind of the bad guy and I did something and they were like, and I was like, in my head, I was like, yeah. And then I kind of edged it up more than I had done the night before. Like, do you kind
of. It is a bit of a pit you can fall into. And I have, especially the first couple of nights, and that's why it's good to have a couple of previews before you do your opening night and stuff, because it's very rare that you would have had an audience watch it.
Yeah.
So you come in, you say something, and this play, it's really funny, surprisingly enough, as dark as it is. It's got some really rough themes in it, but it's very funny because John Patrick Shanley's his dialogue is just amazing.
Yeah.
So you come in for the first time, a few people laugh. And it's very difficult to not sort of, you know, oh, this is funny.
Yeah, because you have to make sure you don't. The next night, different audience, you have to make sure you're not waiting
for
the laugh.
You can't expect it.
You can't
expect it. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's right.
People can see it on your face.
Because audiences, I think people don't realize this, like the listeners. Audiences change nightly. I mean, we know people know that the people change nightly, but the reactions change nightly, don't they? It's not the same, is it?
It's crazy. It's like we've had shows where. Because this is the second iteration of this. We did it back in April, but we wanted to take it to a bigger stage. And the first time around, there would be nights where you just didn't hear a peep.
Nothing.
And you think, and it was like, you know, busy crowd.
Yeah.
It's like, are we just not on tonight?
Yeah.
I don't understand. And your ego can kick in. You can say, well, maybe I need to push a little harder, but you have to say no.
No.
Step back and then it always seems to turn out that people were just listening. Yeah. People were just really intently listening. Yeah.
And it's weird though, isn't it? Because like, you feel like it might be one person, but it's kind of a group dynamic. If there's a few people that are a certain way, mm-hmm. it kind of washes over the whole audience. And that night, they might just be quiet.
Yeah.
And you go back, you're like, man, they were quiet today.
All it takes is one person to laugh, and then the whole dynamic changes.
Exactly. So tell me, when and where is this play on? Because this sounds great. Danny and the Deep Blue Sea, where can people see this?
It is on, we open on Tuesday, this Tuesday.
Which is June the 6th.
Yeah. And we run till the 24th of June at the Old Red Line Theatre.
Where is it? It's in Islington.
Islington. Nearest tube is Angel.
Great. So hear that, guys. Yeah. From June 6th to June 24th, the Old Red Line Theatre in Islington. That's fantastic. And yourself, what's happening for you, man? This is really exciting doing this play.
Well, this is taking over my life at the moment. Yeah. So, it's amazing to think that this, you know, a handful of pages fell on my lap.
How long ago?
15 months ago.
Wow.
And to think that now I'd be sort of...
Yeah.
This is all I've been thinking about for the last, you know, 6 months. So
just
trying to get it back on again. But that's been me for the last while. I do a bit of voiceovers. Yeah.
You have a very sultry voice, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.
I love the accent as well. Love the accent.
I've been practicing it for a very long time. So
I get that. How long, sir?
29 years.
Oh, great. Oh, he's a youngster. 29.
To be 29.
Beautiful young man. Oh, to be 29
thank
again.
Thank you so much. I turned 30 this month.
Oh, dude.
Come and see Danny and the Deep Blue Sea.
Go and see Danny and the Deep Blue Sea. When do you turn 30?
29th of June.
The show will be technically over, but
don't
go and see it.
Change your mind.
Go and see it before that. 30. You know, 30, these are going to be your best years, bro.
I can't wait.
I promise you. Like, I remember when I was turning 30, it's kind of like, oh, man. But I promise you, 30 to 40 will be your best years. It's where you kind of find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm going to take your word for it.
I'm telling you, man, I'm there.
I want my money back if...
No, man, you can come to me. By that point, I'll be 50. I'll be like, dude, I don't know what the fuck I said when I was 40. No, honestly, man, you'll love it. It's you find yourself and you get better in every aspect. And you're active. Whatever you do, you kind of find yourself and you get better. So
I hope it. So.
But I hope this Danny in the Deep Blue Sea, starring Gareth O'Connor, I hope this is the start of all of that stuff for you.
Thank you very much.
And I look forward to... I might not see it. I have three kids. I get very busy.
That's okay.
But I look forward to our listeners definitely coming to see it if I can't go and see it and commenting on it. And I wish you all the luck in the world, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And we will speak to you anon sometime in the future.
See you again.
Right.
Thanks, guys.
Now, guys, man, that was Gareth O'Connor. He's still sitting here. Right now, we are going to probably play... I'm going to play another song, and this again, because I'm on this movie thing. I'm on this movie thing this week. Obviously, it's a movie show. This song is from a film called Men in Black by a little known, and it's a song called Men in Black, starring, and this song's by a little known artist called William Smith. I hope you enjoy it, guys. Back on Rachel.
Just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, MIB, means what you think you saw, you did not see. So don't blink, be what was dead is now gone. Black suit with the black Ray-Bans on. Walk a shadow, move in silence. Guard against extraterrestrial violence. But yo, we ain't on no government list. We straight don't exist, no names and no fingerprints. Saw something strange, watch your back. Cause you never quite know where the MIBs is at. Tonight on the horizon, bright.
bright light into sight tight. Camera zoom on the impending doom. But then like boom, black suits fill the room up with the quickness, talk with the witnesses. Hypnotizer, neuralizer. Vivid memories turn to fantasies. Ain't no MIBs, can I please? Do what we say, that's the way we kick it. You know what I mean? Or see the noisy cricket get wicked on you. With your first, last, and only line of defense against the worst scum of the universe. So don't fear us, cheer us. If you ever get near us, don't jeer us. We're the fearless MIBs freezing up all the flag.
What that stand for?
Men in black, and
the men in black.
Let me see you just bounce it with me, just bounce with me, just bounce it with me. Come on, let me see you just slide with me, just slide with me, just slide with me. Come on, let me see you take a walk with me, just walk it with me, take a walk with me. Come on, and make your neck work. Now freeze. In closing, I know we might seem imposing, but trust me, if we ever show in your section, believe me, it's for your own protection. Cause we see things that you need not see, and we be places that you need not be. So go with your life, forget the Roswell crap, show love to the black suit, cause that's the men in, that's the men in.
My jeez, Men in Black, William Smith. You guys might have heard of him. I love that tune. I love that tune. The film's actually good too. Part two was terrible, but part three was also great with Josh Brolin. So check those out if you haven't seen them. I love films, man. I just love films. We've got a couple more comments here. Teresa on Twitter. I remember when I was little. She doesn't sound like this, by the way. This is my voice. I remember when I was little, growing up, to watch Wonder Woman and The Bionic Man. They were my favorite TV shows. Well, thank you, Teresa. They were very good. Actually, Bionic Man was pretty good. I'm surprised. It's interesting. The Bionic Man, they haven't made a film of, I don't think, that I can remember. But I think it's because, actually, he was called the $6 million man. But like, mate, people buy boats for that price now, so he's not even that special anymore, is he? So they would have to be like the $6 billion man now, probably. So anyway, we also got another email from Jody in Wakefield. Thank you for listening, Jody. Hi, Noel. I've always wondered... She doesn't sound like this either. So again, my voice, guys, in case you're wondering. Hi, Noel. I've always wondered why so many films get released in the summer when it's hot. I can't stand sitting in a sweaty cinema when it's nice outside. Do you get any say when your films are released? Jody. Now, that is a very, very, very good question. Now, a lot of people will avoid releasing their films in summer for that very reason. What you guys don't always get is that film distributors hate the sun. Because if you put a film out and suddenly it's a sunny day, the hottest day of the year, the numbers, box office takings of your film drop so drastically that people don't want to put films out. So here's my point. This is why only the blockbusters get released in summer, really. Massive, massive blockbusters or counter-programming. Because those films are so big that people are going to watch them. They know people are going to watch them. But they, you know, if you just have a regular film, it's unlikely that they'll put out in summer. Do I get a say? So that's that reason. Do I get a say when my films are released? Yes and no. Not always. Generally, the distributor will decide when they're going to put the film out. But for example, Brotherhood originally, which was last year, 2016, was going to be released kind of in early August, and I really stamped my feet and was like, you can't put it out early August, it has to come out late August when people are coming back from holiday. And to be fair to Lionsgate, the distributor, they did listen to me. Now, the reason they tried to release it at a certain time in the year is because you have 16 weeks before the DVD comes out. You have a certain period of time before the DVD comes out, and they knew they wanted the DVD out on Boxing Day. So you count back 16 weeks, and it was, you know, first week of September, but to be clear, they wanted to come early August. But I put my foot down, and they were great, and we released it 27th of August, and it absolutely smashed it. And they wouldn't have done it if they didn't think it was a good idea, but at the same token, I was right. People were back from holidays, kids were getting ready for school, and they were annoyed about it, so they wanted to see a film before they went back, and it just smashed it. And so I don't always get a say, but on that film I did, and it just worked. That doesn't mean I'll always be right. Right, guys, we talk about films here, also talk about short films. Recently, Johanna James, who is the lady that always does this show, spoke to a fella called Jed Shepherd, creator of a short film called Dawn of the Deaf, which I'm assuming is about deaf people, or has some sort of theme about deafness. And if you guys don't know, Johanna James has hearing aids, or has one hearing aid. She is partially deaf, which makes her even more awesome. And so that's premiering at Sundance Festival, London Sundance Film Festival, which kicked off yesterday and runs till the 4th of June. And earlier this week, Johanna spoke to the creator, Jed Shepherd. So let's listen to that.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, Jed. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hello. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
I apologise. It sounds really windy here. I've just stepped outside of Comic-Con where I am right now.
Amazing. Amazing. No, not a problem. Not a problem at all. Well, we just want to have a little quick chat, obviously, about the movie that's in the Sundance Festival, Dawn of the Deaf, because I've read the synopsis and it sounds awesome. Okay. Do you want to just give the people at home a little bit about what the film's about?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So Dawn of the Deaf, the basic element of it is it's about a sound that kills everybody on Earth, and the only people that survive are deaf people.
Of course.
So they have to kind of band together to survive in this post-apocalyptic world. Only problem is that the hearing people are coming back as zombies. So it's essentially, the deaf people versus zombies.
Wow. Well, this film is actually specifically right up my street because I am registered hard of hearing and I wear aids. So I was like, mate, there's a film where like deaf people are like the leads. This is fantastic.
Exactly. This is what we want, because there hasn't really been a movie where deaf people are the main protagonists.
No.
They're like seen as the heroes, and also seen as being deaf as almost it's a positive.
Sure.
We were obviously worried that it was going to be taken the wrong way, and it might be seen as people that are not deaf almost using that to their advantage to kind of make a film about it. But we've been embraced by the deaf community so much. Like, we've won like awards at Deaf Fest a couple of weeks ago. So we really made sure that we were doing it in the right way by using deaf actors and having a BSL advisor the entire time, kind of helped us with some of the sign language scenes.
It's
never really been done before, so
I'm
glad we're the first ones.
And it is playing, it's at the Sundance Film Festival in London. That's happening, I think, Thursday the 1st to Sunday the 4th of June.
It's like next week or something. Yeah,
I know, it's coming up. And the venue's Picture House Central London, so tickets are now on sale, I believe, and you can get a ticket. And is this film, is it a short or is it a feature?
Yeah, it's a short. It's like about 13, 14 minutes long.
Amazing.
And we are making the feature, though. We are in talks with different companies about making the feature. So that's going to be happen early next year.
Yeah.
And we've done over 100 films since we kind of done our first film festival about June last year. We've done over 100. And we've done London Film Festival, loads in Spain, which is about to be the Sydney Film Festival, Glasgow, and obviously Sundance, the main Sundance in America was the main one.
It's doing super duper well then. Amazing.
Yeah, it's been a real whirlwind. For a small kind of genre film, I can't believe how much attention it's got.
It's such a cool concept, and a sort of Dawn of the Deaf, obviously playing on the Dawn of the Dead, like very clever. I'm loving it. I'm so pleased that more that sort of the deaf community are getting into the film world, because we're not represented, you know. So
you're not. And what we're trying to do is, with the feature, we'll make sure that every actor that plays a deaf character is deaf and not just a hearing actor pretending to be deaf.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's all very well getting kind of dusting us out into the kind of genre films, but we want to make sure deaf actors are represented as well. So we made a decision to have all of the main leads be played by actual deaf actors.
That's amazing. That is so cool. Yeah, that must be like, that's a very unique casting, I think, for sure.
Yeah, it is. We've got a lot of help from the deaf community, so it's been great.
Well, all the best of luck for the feature film, and of course, you're smashing all the festivals with the short. So thank you so much for your time. I'll let you get back to now. But thank you so much for talking to us, Jed. Thank you. Yeah. Have a lovely day.
I was going to say, Noel Clarke rocks. Like, his films are amazing.
Oh, amazing.
So please pass that on.
I will, for sure. All right. Thank you, mate. Have a lovely night. Thank you.
You too.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clarke on FUBAR Radio.
I talk to you. Take my hand through the flames. I talk to you. I'm a slave to your games.
I'm just a sucker for pain.
I wanna chain you up. I wanna tie you down. I'm just a sucker for pain.
I'm a sucker for pain. I got the squad tatted on me from my neck to my ankles. The pressure from the man got us all in rebellion. We gon' go to war, yeah, without failure. Do it for the fam, dawg. 10 toes down, dawg. Love and the loyalty, that's what we stand for. Alienated by society. All this pressure give me anxiety. Walk slow through the fire. Like who gon' try us? Feeling the world go against us. So we put the world on our shoulders.
I talk to you. Take my hand through the flame.
I talk to you.
I'm a slave to
I'm
your
games. I'm just a sucker for pain.
I wanna chain you up. I wanna tie you down. I'm just a sucker for pain.
I've been at it with my homies. It don't matter, you don't know me. I've been rolling with my team, we the illest on the scene. I've been riding around the city with my squads. I've been riding around the city with my
squad.
We just posted getting crazy, living like this is so amazing. Hold up, take a step back when we roll up, cause I know what. We've been loyal, we've been fam, we the ones you're trusting. Won't hesitate to go straight to your head like a concussion. I know I've been busting, no discussion for my family. No hesitation through my scope, I see my enemy. Like, what's up, hold up, we finna reload up. Yes, I reload up, I know what up, I know what up.
I told you, take my hand through the flame.
I told you,
I'm a slave to
I'm
your
games. I'm just a sucker for pain.
I wanna chain you up, I wanna tie you down. I'm just a sucker for pain.
Devoted to destruction. A full dosage of detrimental dysfunction. I'm dying slow, but the devil trying to rush me. See, I'm a fool for pain. I'm a dummy, might cut my head off right after I slit my throat. Tongue kiss a shark, got jealous bitches up in the boat. Eating peanut butter and jellyfishes on toast. And if I get stung, I get stoked. Might choke like I chewed a chunk of charcoal. Naked in the knot pole, that's why my heart cold. Full of sorrow, the lost soul, and only Lord knows when I'm coming to the crossroads. So I don't feel shit for tomorrow. And I'm a sucker for pain. It ain't nothing but pain. You just fucking complain. You ain't tough as you claim. Just stay up in your lane. Just don't fuck with Lil Wayne. I'ma jump from my plane or stand in front of a train. Cause I'm a sucker for pain.
Used to doing bad, now we feel like we just now getting there.
Getting there, getting there, getting there, getting there.
Ain't got no other way, so we started and finished
it. Finish it.
No pain, no gain. Never stand down, made our own way. Never going slow, we pick up the pace. This is what we wanted from a young age. No emotion, that's what business is. Lord have mercy on the witnesses.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clarke on FUBAR Radio.
Sucker for Pain. In case you don't know, that is Lil Wayne and Wiz Khalifa, Imagine Dragons, and that is from the film Suicide Squad. So there you go, man. I'm on this film thing today. So a little bit more in the old entertainment news here. So House of Cards, you guys know the show House of Cards. House of Cards are sort of, well, they're never going to be struggling because it's House of Cards and it's a great show, but critics recently at the beginning of season 5, the premiere of season 5, have really come down on the show a little bit, saying that it's not as exciting and it's not really, you know, it's not really popping. All of a sudden, the presidential drama finds itself tragically behind the curve, said The Guardian. What a pity. The show would have been subversive if Hillary Clinton won. So what's really happening here is the show is still great. But the reason it's not as exciting as before is because what's happening in real life with crazy Donald Trump is so exciting and so riveting for people that they're kind of saying that House of Cards is not really as exciting as it used to be. I mean, obviously, it can't be all Donald Trump's fault. It can't be real life. You know, the writers probably have to take the blame. But, you know, what's happening with the real life stuff is so scary, so dramatic, so full on, that suddenly TV shows that were doing all this sort of crazy stuff before suddenly don't seem as exciting anymore. So I mean, that's a number one. I hope House of Cards gets better. But number two, that is a worry. Let's hope that we all are here next week and that old Trumpus doesn't take us all out. Now, also, another big thing that's happening is the classic film. You guys will have to ask your parents about this. The classic film Murder on the Orient Express has been remade and the trailer is released. Now, this film is directed by Kenneth Branagh and it has got a bunch of really big cast in it, including Judi Dench, Penelope Cruz, Johnny Depp, William Dafoe, what's her name that I was talking about? Olivia Colman, Michelle Pfeiffer. I mean, this is a star-studded film, and Derek Jacobi, and directed by Kenneth Branagh. Now, for those of you who don't know, Murder on the Express is an Agatha Christie classic, and it's probably been made like about a zillion times over the years. And Hercule Poirot has to kind of solve the crime of who was murdered on Orient Express. It's not a massive plot twist in there, you know, in terms of what the story's about. It's called Murder on the Orient Express. It's about someone getting killed on a train. But for some reason, I feel like this Kenneth Branagh version is going to be exceptional. Not just because it's Kenneth Branagh, but because the cast itself tells me it's going to be good. So I'm looking forward to that. Go check out the trailer. The trailer is out now. Unfortunately, you know, I might do a Steve and look at a spoiler, but unfortunately, the film is not out till November 24th. But check out that trailer, Murder on the Orient Express. Oh, we've had Lisa on Twitter. Lisa on Twitter, so looking forward to watching this, Wonder Woman. Well, Lisa, I hope you've entered the competition and that you are going to win the gauntlets, fancy names for bracelets, and the tiara and the key ring and take a selfie of you wearing those. That would be awesome, Lisa. So why don't you do that? Okay, another email. Hi, Noel. What movies are you excited about this year? I've seen Emma Watson is doing a new one called The Circle. I love her. From Hannah in Edinburgh. What movies am I excited about this year? I'm excited definitely about Spider-Man Homecoming. That for me is a film that I just cannot wait to see. I love Spider-Man movies, and even except Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire. I didn't like that. I thought that was a letdown. But even the ones that are not popping off, like the Andrew Garfield ones, and, you know, I love Andrew Garfield. I think he's an absolutely brilliant actor. I absolutely love the dude. I think he's awesome. But those films weren't really popping off. But the new one coming with Tom Holland, I'm really, really, really looking forward to that. Spider-Man is my G. That's my man. So I'm looking forward to that Spider-Man movie. Another film I'm looking forward to, which is coming out soon, and I think this, for me, not that he will ever not do another film as great, but this, for me, could be the defining film of this director, is Edgar Wright's movie Baby Driver. Now, if you guys have not seen anything for Baby Driver, as in trailer or who's in it or whatever, you need to go and check that out, because that film looks like it's going to be one of the best films this year. I have little doubt that that film's going to be one of the best films this year. So definitely look out for Baby Driver by Edgar Wright. It stars Kevin Spacey. It stars John Hamm, Jamie Foxx, and a friend of mine, Lily James, who was in Fast Girls, of course, and gave me big hugs when I saw her in Toronto in September. She's an awesome actress, doing really well. I'm very happy for her. And she also is in this film, and that is the Baby Driver. That, I think that's going to be the new Drive. Do you remember how good Drive was, for those of you that like Drive? And for those that didn't, well, you're wrong. But Baby Driver. Also, I am looking forward to Wonder Woman. I can't lie, I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman. Also, another email. I know, I love British comedy, but I just don't get the American comedies. I kind of want to get into them. Which ones would you recommend I watch? Do you have any favourites? Ben. Now, Ben, that is a tricky one, because I'm kind of with you, to be honest. I'm kind of with you. So I can't say that I'm loving the pants off all of those American ones either. But if I had to say any, mate, I'd go back to a few classics. I'd go back to a few, well, they're classics now, but I was probably around the age when they hit like American Pie and American Pie 2 and Road Trip. Those ones back then, really classics. Some of the later ones, I'm with you, man. I just don't find them that funny. Where they're just dumb stoners doing dumb things. I'm like, I don't really kind of find it funny. I think British comedies are a lot sharper and a lot smarter and generally funnier. But I go back to a few classics, man. Check out some American Pie shit and those ones there. Right, soon, in the studio soon, we're going to have my man that I've worked with before and is now smashing it in America, Mr. Dwayne Henry. That is what we're having soon. Dwayne is here. He is in the building. They're writing on the computer right in front of me. Dwayne is here. And for those of you who don't know, he's a ledge. He's gone to America and he's absolutely smashing it. I'm wondering also if Shanika Warren Marklin is going to turn up at any point, because she was supposed to be here at 3 o'clock and she is not. They're writing on the screen, she is not here. Exclamation mark. Full stop. So anyway, right now, guys, I'm going to play you another song, because I'm on this film thing today. And this one is called Unchained, and it's by James Brown and Tupac, rest both their souls. And it's from the classic movie, and I think it is a classic, by Quentin Tarantino, starring Jamie Foxx, Django Unchained.
Untouchable. expect me, nigga, like you expect Jesus to come back. Expect me, nigga. I'm coming.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose with Nossa.
Mabel, how's it going?
I feel like there is a certain responsibility. Like, as much as I just want to have fun and make songs that me and my friends can dance to, I feel like I do have a responsibility to tell young women to, like, not get lost in relationships and to always put yourself first. I love love. I love falling in love. But that it's really important to make sure that you're in the driving seat and that somebody's not just using you. The women that I grew up listening to taught me so much, Lauryn Hill and Beyonce, about being an independent woman and, like, being strong and taking care of me. And I think that it's an important message to send.
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose with Nossa from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
4, 3, 2. I'm doing the countdown. Oh my gosh! Right now, I can't even tell you. Right now, I'm proud. I'm humbled. I'm excited because right now, in the studio, sitting right opposite me, is my man, Dwayne Henry.
What's happening?
Woo! Yes. And Dwayne, for those who don't know, we've known each other a long time. Probably go back to 2007, where we did West 10 LDN pilot that I wrote. And Dwayne was a star, an absolutely amazing lead he was, with another lady doing well, Ashley Madekwe.
It's Madekwe, man.
Right? Yeah. And Dwayne was a star. And since then, Dwayne has been doing his thing. He went off to America. He started various things over here. Like, let's get that clear for a start. Started various things over here. Then he was like, I'm going to go to America. He's been doing his thing on the quiet. And now he is the star. One of the stars. But I'm always going to say the star of NCIS. Which one is it? The new one?
No, it's the main one.
The main one.
Yeah.
NCIS. Yeah.
I mean, to everyone it's different, but it's the daddy.
He's the daddy. He's in the daddy show. So my man, how you doing, man?
Bro, I'm good, man. It's good to see you because we go back, man. Like, we didn't have no scenes together, but before West 10, bro, we did Dub Plate Drama.
That's right. So, Dub Plate Drama. Man, I'm even forgetting that. Luke Himes. Let's go speak to Luke, man.
Good guy, man. So, yeah, it's been a long road, bro. So, obviously, people like yourself and, you know, people like Amal Amin and, you know...
And our man, Ashley Thomas
and Arnold O'Sheng, you know, it's weird to see us in this position because, you know, we've been a lot of miles, bro.
There's a lot of miles, man. I think people don't realise that.
Yeah.
That's my boy, Arnold and Ash. That's my boys, man.
Back in the day, man. Yeah, and it's beautiful to see the seeds everyone planted 10 odd years ago starting to grow now.
Yeah.
So it's so humbling.
And there's space.
Yeah.
You know, there used to be, I think, an old guard, like the generation above us, or maybe a bit guarded in terms of like, nah, I've got it, there's no space. But there's space.
Yeah, there is.
Especially now.
Yeah, there's more room now than ever, especially in the States as well. So, you know, they're feeling us right now, man.
So tell me, man. So tell me about the journey. Tell me about, because it said, like, much like myself, you aspire to be an actor from around the age of 5.
Young, man. Playing cops and robbers and cowboys and Indians, and I just never fell out of love with it. You know, it was something that I felt came effortless to me, you know, that sort of compassion and empathy you have as an actor, and I just sort of ran with it. And I figured to myself when I was young, if I do this and it comes effortless to me, I may never have to work a day in my life.
Yeah,
I figured that out early on, and I think that's what the problem is. A lot of young people, they don't really know what they want to do, so
that's
it's
right.
difficult to make a choice and walk down a certain path if you have no idea of what comes to you. And I always tell young kids, do what comes natural to you, then you'll never have to work again.
But also, you said something there, but actually it's interesting when you say you never have to work a day in your life. What you mean is actually, what I think you mean is actually, because acting is incredibly hard work.
Yeah.
But what you mean is because you enjoy it, it's not work.
Yeah,
you're actually living your dream, you're doing what you wanted to do, but when you've wanted to do something so much and you love it, it's not like you become a pop star, you sell some records, then you're vexed that you have to go on tour.
It's not really about that.
It's like, well, why are you vexed? This is what you wanted. It's like when you love something and you want to do it, it's not work.
It's a pleasure. Yeah, I enjoy it, man.
It's a pleasure. You go on set and you're happy.
You're gonna have difficult days. That's life.
That's
man.
Life.
You're gonna get a lot of no's, but without those no's, you won't know what yes means and how yes feels and how to hold it tight and hold on to it, you know.
So, I love that. If I had a shotgun, I'd shoot it in the air in celebration. You know, because I know what you're saying, man. It's like people don't see that. There's a lot of no's.
There's
a lot of heartache. And let's talk about some of that. So you've always made brave moves.
Yeah,
and I'm
man.
Always going to give you that. You know, you've always made very brave moves. At 17.
Yeah.
You mean, because you were born where?
Birmingham, West Midlands.
West Midlands,
man.
Right? Yeah. Wanted to be an actor at the age of 5. At 17, you came down to London to the Big Smoke to pursue your dream.
I did, man.
I had to. That's a brave move in itself.
Thank you.
And how did you find that? Because it says, I'm understanding that when you came down here, it wasn't all easy. Like, you went straight into acting. You were homeless for a bit, right?
Yeah, I came in with a suitcase and a dream, like what most young people do, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and drunk on audacity, you know. That was mainly my thing. I didn't... 17, I didn't care. I just wanted to be out of my my familiar zones where I was for many years, and just wanted to be in a big city, and I just loved to act, and yeah. I didn't know where it could take me, but I knew the possibilities were endless, you know.
Yeah.
So the day I got here, you know, I said I'd give myself 10 years to the day. I've always said that, and you know, that was November 27th, 2003, and it was a Thursday. So November 27th, 2013, I booked my flight to LA, and I was in LA by December 3rd.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
so I mean, but during those years here, so obviously you started, Yeah, first you were homeless.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you started struggling, but then what little things started coming?
Yeah, first year just on my auntie's couch, you know, for a little bit, and then after that, the little section she gave me, the corner of a living room, started to get bigger and bigger. She was like, "You have to come out, man. You have to come out my yard."
Yeah, yeah.
It just got a little bit much. So after a year, I got a little bed sit, and that's when it really started, you know. I got an agent, and then just started to do the grind, like what most people do, just little guest parts here. But yeah, most majority is, you know, just homeless.
Yeah. And then couch. and then Dubplate,
and then you know what, yeah, Dubplate was such a blessing for me, man. It was such an experience.
Starring Shiesty,
Chanel. Yes, Chanel Carrick, crazy girl. A lot of legends in that. A lot of people, like obviously N-Dubs before they blew up, started off in that, and obviously you know, a lot of stars. Adam Deacons were still coming up, and it's just one of those shows where you look back and it was like, it's a part of culture, man. It's pop culture. Yeah. No matter how you look at it, you know, it's we had a time. It was a moment, and everyone loved it at that time. Especially the actions of, you know, you deciding the ending of the show and stuff. It was something that was never been done.
And it was
before.
Interesting because I knew Luke, and we would sit down, and I mean I'm not going to take credit for his thing, but me and Luke would sit down and chat a lot about, like, oh, he's like, what do you think about this person? I'm like, yeah, bro, you should cast that person. They're coming up and blah 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 blah. And he always said to me, you need to be in the show, and I was always like, bro, I can't be in the show. I'm older, blah blah. And he convinced me to come do that one cameo.
I loved it. You and TJ. I remember the scene like it was yesterday.
At the door and the hostel and that. Yeah. And he convinced me to do that one cameo. Yeah. But I was always like, yeah, man, these guys are good. That girl's good. And then, of course, West 10 LDN.
Listen, bro.
And that was interesting because that show was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
I feel like the reason that show never went to series or from the pilot is because actually it was almost in a weird way. Top Boy before Top Boy.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, they weren't ready for it.
And not disrespecting that show, because I love that show. I love Ashley and I love those guys, Kano and all that. But West 10 was that, wasn't it? It was our community.
Yeah, it was. It was something that, and you know, honestly, you know, not to take it here, but being an outsider in that show, being from Birmingham, and everyone, you know, the show called West 10 with a lot of Londoners, and to be like a principal,
the lead,
well, the lead,
he
in
was the
it.
Lead. Yeah,
I'm trying to be,
he was the lead. If the series got made, he was the lead.
Yeah, that, you know, that was something that was just incredible, man.
Yeah,
you know, and obviously your brainchild and Menhart Schroeder, and the writer of the book
Courtier Newland.
When I read that book, I knew it. I was like, I'm Oren. I don't care. From the first page that opened, I said, before I even got the part, I was like, this is me.
Yeah.
I swear to you, I was like, I'm getting this part. So,
and you were great. And Ashley Madekwe, she's gone on to great things.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think that show, they weren't ready for it at the time. Because you're thinking that's 2007. They just were not ready for that show.
Powerful,
very smart. Yeah. You know, not to say I'm writing it because it's from the book.
Yeah.
But it's powerful, very smart show that I think just showed our people in a positive light as well as the realness of it, and they couldn't get it.
They didn't know what to do.
They didn't know what to do with it. Hold on, there's black people smiling.
Yeah, yeah.
And hold on, the father's still there.
Yeah.
Why is the father still there? This is confusing me. You know what I mean? And they just didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, that's unfortunate. But anyway, so fast forward, 2013.
Man.
You go to LA. Another brave move.
I had to, bro, because it was drying up here, and I figured to myself, look, mate, you're 28, 29. I don't know what's going to happen here, but let me go to the States for a minute. You know, what you have to offer is kind of celebrated out there a little bit.
Yeah.
So just see what you can do. Worst case is you come back. So against everyone's will, including my own old agents, you know, they were like, don't go yet and all this stuff. Yeah. And I was just like, I'm out of here. So yeah.
I'm out. Yeah.
My plan was to go there and take a year out. So I took a year out when I got there just to learn the logistics, learn to drive on the other side of the road, you know, tone up a little bit and work on the accent.
What did you call it? The yardie fat.
The yardie fat, man. All that dumplings and all that.
I'm getting a bit old on my old age. I'm getting a little bit of titty on my left pec. bruv. It's my age, bruv. Right. Like, don't laugh at me,
love,
man.
Handles,
it's my age.
Love handles.
It's not
bro.
Even a love handle. My sides are good. It's just on my firm pecs. Just on as my age now, getting a bit soft on the end, like a
two,
little
two push ups.
A little
bed.
Nah, it's not. I've done the push ups, yeah. Bruv. The pecs there. It's the boot. It's a little bit of boobage on top. It's a little fat on top. You know, I was holding my baby. You tried to suck it the other day. I was like, nah. I was like, okay, I need to, yeah, this needs to get, I think I need to get some Kardashian lipo or something up in here.
Stop it.
You know what I mean? Anyway, so yeah, you're in LA.
Yeah, took a year out. And then after about a year, well, when I first got there, I sat down with my manager now, and he said, are you ready to come out and
do
this?
Is he still your manager?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, he must be dancing the jig,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he asked me when I first got there, he said, are you ready? And I went, no.
Yeah.
And he went, seriously, I was like, no, I need a year. So yeah. Literally, I took a year out, met him a year later. He hardly recognized me, and I said, I'm ready. First audition was a show called Shades of Blue, Jennifer Lopez. That was my first audition in the States. And long story short, I read for it, and it ended up being between me and another guy.
Yeah.
That was my first gig, and being at the top of the NBC Tower with Barry Levinson, the director of Rain Man, you know, Benny Medina, J-Lo's manager, and J-Lo, you know, and she's like, this is your first audition in America? And I'm like, yeah, my first audition. And they're like, whoa.
Did you ask her out for a drink or something?
I was shook, man. Yeah,
I would have been like, yeah, it's my first, man. You want to be my second or something, man?
In her dreams.
Yeah, that's right.
She looked good though.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't get the part. Obviously, I wasn't, you know, I was, you know, lack of experience. But I just kept my head down for 6 to 8 months, and we knew I could work, but it was just about finding the right gig.
Yeah, man.
So I booked a pilot after that called Paradise Pictures that was set in the '40s. You know, beat out of a lot of Americans for it, so that made me feel good. Little young saxophone player.
Love that.
Didn't get picked up. Cruel Intentions did a TV show,
Off, which is based on the film.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I got a part in that. And they dropped my character from regular to reoccurring. And when we got the word it was reoccurring, that's when I went up for NCIS. And it was at the end of pilot season. All the mandem are booked. Ashley Thomas. All these guys had booked 24. I still didn't have nothing. I didn't have nothing. You know, homeless all day. So I remember sitting with Ashley Bashy. Sorry, and then. So telling him.
Sorry, I think we can call him Ashley now.
Yeah, we can call
him.
He's Mr. Thomas. It's Mr. Thomas.
He's a big boy actor on 24. Yeah. I think we can call him Ashley Thomas. I love that kid. I
remember sitting with him just before we both had booked anything, and I was just down and out. He had to borrow me some change for food, and I remember saying to him like, "Right, is this gonna happen, bro? Like, man's nearly 30 and that. Like, what's that?" And he was like, "Fam, trust me, just have faith.
Just
bro,
have faith,
believe.
Do your work."
And literally, a few months later, he got 24 and I got NCIS. So when we see each other now, and like we hang out and stuff, it's just that look we give each other, like, man.
Of course, man. It's amazing.
Yeah, so
it's amazing.
It's crazy, man.
And so tell me, NCIS, obviously you're here doing the UK promotion.
Yeah.
When can we see it? It's on Fridays, right?
Yeah, Fridays on Fox, 9 p.m.
Fridays on Fox UK?
Yeah, and it's
at 9 p.m.
It's just started, I believe.
So that means it's on tonight.
Yeah, it's on tonight.
So guys, you know what you got to be doing tonight. You got to be watching our man here, Dwayne Henry, on NCIS, the daddy of the shows, on Fox UK at 9 o'clock tonight.
9 o'clock. And Channel 5, I believe, they've started playing the end of season 13. So they just showed my first episode on Channel 5. That's for my brethrens and families and friends who haven't got Fox.
Who haven't got got the Fox,
My people only started watching it last week because they haven't got Fox.
That'll be Channel 5. Do you know what days it's on Channel 5?
Oh, man, I think it was Sunday. It started last Sunday.
Well, listen, you guys have got TVs.
Yeah.
You got the remote. You can search it. NCIS. It's on Fox at 9 o'clock on Fridays.
Yeah.
But also look for the Channel 5 showings because you're going to see our guy Dwayne Henry here. So, man, that's amazing. And what? Obviously, this is going to have you booked for a while.
I hope so, man.
Yeah.
I'm still a sponge now, man. I got a lot to learn, you know.
We all
still got a lot
we
to
all
learn.
Do.
So just head down and just do the work. And as I said, most actors, most of the people in the industry, we just want to be useful and feel like we're working because ultimately we just want to work.
Yeah, an actor without work is like a broom without bristles. Do you know what
exactly.
I'm saying? It's kind of useless, really.
Yes, right.
Do you know what I mean?
Good point.
So sweeping up and just scraping up the floor. Yeah. There's like no point.
That's it. So we want to be basking in bristles, my friend. So
basking in bristles, man. I love it. Listen, my friend.
Listen.
After all these years,
it's crazy,
I know you've been doing your thing. It's been a pleasure to see you. I got to tell you, I'm massively proud of you.
Thank you, man.
Seeing you grow up.
Thank you.
And watching what you've been doing on the UK and then over there, watching from afar, because I've not even seen you really.
Yeah.
I think we bumped into each other about 6 years ago before you went.
Yeah.
But I've not really seen you.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you.
Like,
can I just say something about you as well? You are obviously.
I'm sexy.
I mean,
you looking at my boobs?
I've heard that. I don't know.
Yeah,
but you're a pillar, man. You know you're a pillar. You're a pillar in this community, and without people like you, there wouldn't be no people like me and the next generation under us. You know, so for you to break down the doors and tear off the roof, thank you on behalf of everyone, because you've had to go through a lot as well. I've seen you from when I was a kid. You know,
you've known,
and you still look 12 years old now. So well done, man.
Thank you very much, man. Lots of love. NCIS tonight and every Fridays, Fox at 9. Search out the Channel 5 show, my man Dwayne. Wayne Henry, legend. I love him to bits. Now we are going to play How to Survive in South Central by Ice Cube from the classic film. And you know what, bruv? It relates to us, man, because it's what we are.
Yes.
Boys in the hood.
Yes,
do it.
Man.
Back row and
thank you. Love.
Hello. Are you like just my name is Elaine, and I'll be your tour guide through South Central Los Angeles.
How to survive in South Central. A place where busting the cap is fundamental. No, you can't find a shit in a handbook. Take a close look at a rap crook. Rule number one, get yourself a gun. A nine in your ass will be fine. Keep it in your glove compartment, cause jackers, oh, they love to start shit. Now if you're white, you can trust the police. But if you're black, they ain't nothing but beef. Watch out for the kill. Don't make a false move and keep your hands on the steering wheel.
And don't get smart,
answer all questions. And that's your first lesson on staying alive in South Central, yeah. That's how you survive.
Hi, this is Elaine again. Are you enjoying your stay in South Central Los Angeles? Or is somebody taking your thing? To drive by. Okay. Make sure you have your camcorder ready to witness the extracurricular activities on Blacks by the Police. So you and your family can enjoy this tape over and over again.
Rule number two, don't trust nobody, especially a bitch with a hooker's body. Cause it ain't nothing but a trap, and females will get you jacked and kidnapped. You'll wind up dead. Just to be safe, don't wear no blue or red, cause most niggas get got. In either L.A., Compton, or Watts. Pissed off black human beings. So I think you better skip the sightseeing. And if you're nothing but a mark, make sure that you're in before dark. But if you need some affection, mate, make sure the bitch ain't a Section 8. Cause if so, that's a monkey wrench hoe. And you won't survive in South Central.
Now you realize it's not always cracked up to be. You realize that it's fucked up. I mean, nothing like the shit you saw on TV. So I advise you to pack your shit and get the fuck on.
Yo, I'ma say what's up to DJ Jilly Jill, Sir G. Hey, yo, Q, these motherfuckers don't know what time it is. So show these motherfuckers what's happening. Tell these motherfuckers, don't fuck around and stop bitch. God damn it. Rule number three, don't get caught up. Cause niggas aren't doing anything that's thought up. And they got a vice on everything from dope to stolen merchandise. Weed to shine, cause South Central LA is one big turn. Wait for a brother like you to catch a disease and start slanging keys to an undercover with a wrong brother. And they'll smother a out of town motherfucker. So don't take your life for granted, cause it's the craziest place on the planet. In LA, heroes don't fly through the sky of stars. They live behind bars. So everybody's doing a little dirt, and it's the youngsters putting in the most work. So be alert, stay calm. As you enter the concrete Vietnam, you say the strong survive. Shit, the strong even die in South City.
Yeah, you bitches, you think I forgot about your ass? Trap ass hoes, you better watch out. And for you so-called brawler ass niggas, you know what time it is. South Central ain't no joke. You better keep your gat all the time, motherfucker. You better keep one in the chain with nine in the clip, goddammit. You'll show get got just like that. This ain't no joke, motherfucker. And I wanna send a shout out to each y'all, the engineer, put this 2-6-6.
Fubar Radio presents
The Hannah Whitten Show.
I have with me Alani.
Do you think you'd ever get into that?
Like a sex swing? Absolutely.
Really?
I need to get myself a sex cushion. Yeah.
You could shoot a pillow though.
Actually, no, I have done that before. Make, do and mend, guys. You don't have to buy expensive sex furniture. That is like the dream for me though. And so I can imagine like when I actually ever do that is going around IKEA and just figuring out if the height of it
if it's gonna work.
It's gonna work. It needs not just a plain headboard.
Ones with like the gaps in the middle or something that might
This is only things that we would like. These are priorities.
Yeah. Every Wednesday,
The Hannah Whitten Show
from 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Oh man, man, oh man! It was so good to see Dwayne Henry, my man Dwayne Henry. So good to see him. And that song, of course, was "How to Survive in South Central" by Ice Cube from the classic film Boys in the Hood. Now, Shanika Warren-Marklin is in the building late.
I'm here.
Late.
Better late than
how
never.
How dare maybe? You, man? How dare you? How dare you? But she's here. It's
I'm
good
here.
To see you, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Nice
what
to see you.
What
too.
Time do you call this, though?
very late. I know it's very late, but I was trying my absolute best to get here, and there was just crazy traffic. And I just hope no one was.
By the way, guys,
hurt.
This is she's not a guest. This is a co-host who was supposed to be here at 4 p.m. It's now 5:29. Like, there's half an hour left. Like, what?
I know. I'm basically just making a guest appearance instead of guest hosting.
You better drive me somewhere after this show. Like for penance for your lateness.
Okay.
But in the meantime, in a moment, we're going to have Lucy coming in, talking about films, talking about what she's seen this week, the latest releases, and we can also get onto some of the stuff I talked about earlier, which I think you might be interested in, about Jessica Chastain and Chloe Grace Moretz. You can have a read of those when you play the next tune. Now, we got an email in here from Sophie in Cardiff. Sophie says, I've heard you speak quite a lot about writing screenplays on this show. Well, it's a film show, so that's what I do. Like the last time, you were talking about MMA, female MMA movies. Do you prefer writing alone or with a team? Firstly, female MMA movies, love it. Got a script, which is now probably fucked because Blake Lively's going to do one. So either mine's going to be absolutely fucked in the water, or people are going to want more. And I've got, by the way, people, I've got a good one. Do you prefer writing alone or with a team? It's interesting, Sophie. Good question. I like writing alone and I like writing with a team. But then sometimes when you're writing with a team, it's not necessarily always your vision. In short, I like writing alone. That's the answer. I just wish there was two of me so I could do more writing and still get done everything else I need to get done, because I have a lot of things to get done.
And you started off writing alone, I'm guessing.
I started off writing alone and then realised there was loads of work and teamed up with other people. I mean, you write now, do you write alone?
Yeah, mostly, yeah.
Yeah, do you prefer it?
Yeah.
It's better, isn't it?
It's just because you have your idea.
Oh, this is a good idea. Well, it's this, and this. And you're like, side act.
I guess if you've got someone who've got a great relationship and you're a bit of a double act, then the writing would be smooth.
Yeah, but what if that idea is shit? They're terrible.
Well, yeah, you probably aren't a little double
and you're
act.
And you just yeah, that was great. Can you go get me a drink from the shop down the road and then lock the door behind them and stuff like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Sophie. So in a moment, hold on. Why are you late again?
Because I was stuck in traffic. I was coming from out of London. I wasn't like just in my house chilling, I swear down.
You could have phoned in though.
What?
You could have phoned in and be like on the phone. Speaker.
Oh, I would have. If someone had given me the option, I would totally have done that. I would have.
Side eye.
I would have.
Babe, can you go get me a drink from the road?
He's trying to lock me out the door.
Oh, man. So what's been happening? Tell me what's been happening.
Well, most recently, I've been topping up my tan.
Topping up my tan.
See, you're looking a bit tanned as
well. Where did you go?
I see you were away.
I was in Trinity. But I was working, though.
I know. I saw you say, oh, I'm actually working. I was like, is he, though?
Yes, I was.
That is the kind of work
I actually was working.
I wasn't.
You weren't.
I was sunning myself.
I don't even look at your pictures with the bikini and all that. I didn't look at any of those pictures.
It's because we're like, you know, brother and sister. It's not really appropriate, is it?
Incest, hashtag incest is a thing.
Hashtag brotherhood.
Incest is a thing. Was that your favourite scene you've ever shot, that sex scene?
Oh my gosh. Can you believe he's asking this, guys? Of course you brought it up.
Is that your favourite scene you've ever shot, ever?
No.
In your life?
No.
Why are you lying, though?
It was not my favourite scene I've ever shot in my life. However, you did handle it very well. It was all very tasteful. Everything was
very
cool on
professional.
Set. Very professional.
Of course, man. That's how we roll. You are kind of like my sister. Hashtag incest is a thing. It's so weird because was that a new email you just deleted there? It's so weird because people always, all right, we're talking about it now. People always ask us about that scene and be like, yo, did you, did it? It's like, no.
It's not sexy.
It's not sexy. Like, and Shanika's not sexy. So, like, my things are just dead. Like, when I'm near, I'm just dead. It's like dead.
No lights to pretend. But that's okay.
Just
we could
dead.
Do this.
Like,
we could do this all day.
When I'm near Shanika, any sexual feeling I have just dies in, like, my soul.
But that's because we're, like, brother and sister, not because I'm a dentist.
My willy hangs like a pendulum. It's just dead near her. So like when we do those sex scenes in the films, there's like literally nothing. Ain't that right?
We're just such good actors that we made it look like there was
mad
chemistry.
I won't lie though, it does look good.
It does look good.
I got a little twinge when I was watching. I was like, raw, how did it look so good?
Sorry, Noel's wife, he didn't really get a little twinge.
When I was watching it, not when I was doing it.
I know.
When I'm doing
still
it,
be getting twinges when
I'm
you're
doing
watching
it, it was like pendulum dick, just dead, because you're just dead. You know what I mean?
Hashtag not a dead thing.
No, we're like brothers. No, it's not a dead scene, though. Not a dead scene. Very
not
good
a dead scene.
Scene and we're like brother and sister. I love you to bits. I never think of you that way. Hashtag incest is a thing. Right. So, right now, we are going to play another track. Again, from another film that I'm thinking you guys need to see called Above the Rim. You notice I'm playing black films today, man. This might be surprising, but I am actually black, for those of you that don't know. So, there is a theme today. So, this film is called Above the Ring. Above the Rim was a basketball film which starred Tupac Shakur, and this film is Pain by Tupac featuring Stretch.
I couldn't help but note your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
Take me alive, I'm getting high with my profile cocked on these suckers, time to die. Even as a youngster, causing ruckus on the back of the bus. I was a fool all through high school, kicking up dust. But now I'm labeled as a troublemaker. Who can you blame? Smoking weed help me take away the pain. So I'm hopeless, rolling down the freeway, swerving. Don't worry, I'm about to crash upon the curb, cause my business is bloody. Maybe if they tried to understand me, what should I do? I had to feed my fucking family. What else could I do? Or be a thug? I'm slanging with the homies, fuck hanging with them phonies in the club. Got my mind no danger, never been a stranger to homicide. My city's full of gangbangers and drive-bys. Why do we die at an early age? He was so young, but still a victim of the 12 gauge. My memories of a corpse, mind full of sick thoughts. And I ain't going back to court, so fuck what you thought. I'm drinking Hennessy, running from my enemies. Will I live to be 23? It's so much pain.
Of that rough life, running crazy wild as a kid, and growing tough with a knife, but living tripe on the regular, walking out competitors, see a figure moving, chase them down like a fucking predator, get in trouble every day in school, act a fool, and you know I had to break every rule, showing off for the bitches cause I had the mad breath, so I had to watch my back when it was time to step, but my grime is the grimiest with love for me, oh pop pop, they send a sucker up above for me, and yo, currency kept passing me by, but I did. Cry. Bro got hit off of the pack and started selling coke. And now the money's looking lovely. Hop the drop top and now the bitches wanna rub me. Kick them the game, it's all the same. I kick it back, yo. Give them slack, yo. And now they label me the Mac, yo. People check it. Get disrespected if you front on the bird, man. You heard, man. Catch a couple shots from the Glock in my hand. Damn, at least I'm realistic with my biscuit. You know you get your ass twisted, so run for cover. Me and my man got a plan, kicking major dust. So if you old nigga, look for the gauge to bust. A lot of pressure with the street fame. It's a deep game and my mama always crying. Yo, there's so much pain.
They got me mobbing like I'm loped and ready to get my slug on. I load my clip and slip my motherfucking gloves on. I ain't scared to blast only suckers if they test me. Trucks, I got my Glock, cop and player if they press me. Bust on motherfuckers with a passion, better duckers. I ain't looking when I'm blasting. I'm a nut, I'm drinking in the sea and getting high on the lookout for my enemies. Don't wanna die, tell me why. Cause the stress getting major. A buck 50 cross the face with my razor. What can I do but be a thug until I'm dead and gone? Keep my brain on the game and stay headstrong. These sorry bastards wanna kill me in my sleep. I'm really cannot see, and every day is just a struggle. Steady thugging on the streets and I've been falling low. Don't let them make you worry. Keep swinging at these suckers till you worried. I was born and raised. Hell, a nigga from the gutter. Word to mother, I'm tough. I'm kicking dust up, ready to bust. I'm on the scene, steady mugging me. Until they kill me, I'll be living this life. I know you feel me. There's so much pain.
Yo, man, I'm just on fire today, man. You guys make sure you tell Johanna James when she gets back about the tunes that I was playing. Because I know she's not playing good music when I'm not here. She doesn't play good music when I'm here. So I know she ain't playing good music when I'm not here. Right. In the studio, we got Lucy.
Hello.
Doing the films.
Still haven't got a jingle, by the way.
You still haven't got...
No.
Listen,
it's been nearly a year.
Do you know what? I've not played any jingles because I don't know these buttons. I don't know the buttons.
All right, then. So we've okay.
I doubt even know Abby knows what my main things are. Where's...
There we go. Oh. Yay!
There we go.
That's
yeah,
a good one. Yeah. I like that one. Announce my arrival.
Where's my Stormzy one? Where is it? Where's my jingle there?
What's your Stormzy one?
Oh, let me show you. I think it's 40, 13 or 14, is it?
Putting pressure Shanika, on
Shanika, what have you done today? Push it.
I've been stuck maybe in my
way. Aruba shocked her.
So when we hear something that we don't want to hear, press that.
Yeah.
Aruba shocked her.
What were you saying, babe? Say again.
Aruba shocked
her. I'm like not going to speak now.
Yeah, I love it.
He's a big kid. He's so happy.
I love it. Anyway, what number is that?
Yeah, remember that
He's
one.
He's going to be reaching over to the present.
I'm going to use my toes, reach over with my toes. Just like, bam, bam, bam. Boy, 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 so, Lucy, baby.
Hello.
Our resident film person. Tell me, man, what's been happening this week?
What have you been doing? Watching a lot watching? This week. Boom, I went to see King Arthur again. And I will continue to tell everybody to go and see that film because I absolutely love it. I'm going to see it again on Sunday, whatever. Okay. No.
Even
you're so out of order.
Is that tumbleweed?
That is so rude. Anyway, enough of that.
All right,
Johanna coming back? She's so energizer. I also went to see Baywatch.
Yeah.
What did you
think? Do you know what? It's been really sort of
panned.
Slagged off by everybody. But do you know what I say to that? Stop being so fucking miserable. It's a funny you know, it's a funny, entertaining, stupid, colourful bit of fun, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
There's nothing really that offensive in it.
Is it funny though? My
to
sister
me,
laughs
is.
At everything.
Yeah,
she said she didn't
laugh
find
at
it
everything
funny.
And see, I did. Oh. It definitely was juvenile humour.
Right.
You know, it's not a masterpiece. It's not going to win any awards or anything. But I think the tone of the film is set almost immediately that you're not supposed to take it seriously.
Yeah.
And I mean, why would you? Why would you take an adaptation of that show
like
seriously?
Are you going to go see Baywatch?
Probably not.
Do you know what? I think if I wasn't doing this show...
Yeah.
I maybe wouldn't have done.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's worth seeing it because, like I said, it's so colourful. It's full of action and explosions.
Are
and,
people going
and
to watch
Zac
the red Efron. Swim costumes? Is that the draw?
I would say
the famous Baywatch
yeah.
red swim.
Are they high,
yeah.
are they still high
it's
cut?
The body
like
beautiful.
They really high cut, and they do take the piss out of it as well. They do. At one point, they're having a conversation like, "Oh, why does that ride up my ass so much?" You know, and things
yeah.
like that. And and obviously, you have a bit of showboating with Zac Efron and The Rock, and obviously,
they both
I love
have
that
good
bit.
Body, great bodies,
Jesus
they?
Christ, he's ripped to shreds.
Yeah,
Zac
both
Efron,
of them
yeah.
got good bodies. The Rock's just big, and
yeah.
Zac's
yeah,
like
he's
just
massive.
Slender and
yeah, yeah.
sexy. But the girls are like hot. But my thing is like. The high cut costume is not that special anymore. Like back
no.
in the 80s, dads would be like, "I'm going to watch Baywatch. You kids go play in your room. I'm watching Baywatch.
Slow mo bounce.
I'm in the shed watching Hallie, Baywatch. Mummy, why is daddy always going in the shed to watch Baywatch? Shut up. Your daddy doesn't watch that show. Don't you tell your grandparents your daddy watches that show."
But see, that spirit is still captured with the film, you know, and I think they did a good job.
Yeah.
The writers actually have only written another couple of feature films before, and that was the remake of Friday the 13th, and I think there was a Freddy versus Jason, so you know they're used to the ridiculous.
Shit, you're on, yeah, okay.
You know, and I think they did a good job.
Right,
but it's
all right,
really
enough
funny.
About Baywatch and
yeah,
Zach's
well,
muscles.
Yeah,
what else?
Heck.
What else did you have a look at?
I also started watching The Keepers, which is a documentary on Netflix. It's by the makers of Making a Murderer.
Right.
So straight away, really, you know, it's going to be good. They are a good caliber of, you know, documentary makers.
Yeah.
I've only seen one episode, and it's around the...
And what's this on?
Netflix. It's around the murder of a nun called Sister Catherine...
Oh, wow.
Sesnick, I think,
right.
in 1970 it was. And
true story, is it?
Yeah, true story. It's a documentary, like I said, like Making the Murder. It's in 10 parts, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, so I have only watched the first one, but it's not even just about the murder. It's what the cover-up of that murder then, you know, sort of exploded out this whole hidden world of abuse, basically, at the hands of Catholic priests.
The Keepers, yeah. There was a film recently, Spotlight. Spotlight was
that was
kind
amazing.
Of about that.
Yeah, and it, yeah, and it's around that sort of
what are you watching on
subject,
Netflix at the minute, Sean?
I've started watching Dear White People.
Yeah.
I haven't watched all of it yet, but I did watch the episode directed by Barry Jenkins, the Moonlight guy.
Yeah. How are you finding it?
Any good?
Yeah. So good, that episode. It's really good anyway, but
I'm
that
gonna
episode
add that to my list, man. I don't think I've even added that to my list.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I'm going to.
Wow. I can tell it was amazing.
I'm going to do it right now.
Add Dear White People to my list.
Well done.
Yeah. That is really good, and just for like light entertainment, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. How do you
say it? Kimmy Schmidt.
I love Tyus. He's like one of my favorite characters on TV.
Yeah, no, I'm digging that character. But I gotta tell you, man, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I watched season one, and I was like, okay, this show looks like a show I'm digging. I watched season one, and then it just. There was one episode where they were pulling a dolphin down the street, like walking a dolphin, and I was like, okay, you're kind of losing me now.
It just went a different way.
All right, we're gonna carry on with Lucy in a second. We've got an email in here. Hiya, Noel and Shanika. It was a little awkward when you chatted about the sex scene. What's the worst scene you've ever had to film? Haha, Chelsea, Chessa in Northampton. Chessa, I bet you loved it. Right, the worst film I've ever had to see, worst scene I've ever had to film. I don't know.
The worst one. I can think of an uncomfortable one, but not like an awkward uncomfortable.
Go on,
do you remember when we were filming in 4321?
Yes.
And we were on that bridge, and what bridge was it? Westminster Bridge.
Westminster Bridge.
And it was
just
so cold, and obviously Keris doesn't wear much clothes. I was so cold.
Oh,
it was
no.
like 4 o'clock in the morning. I was freezing.
Yeah.
It was like, and then they'd be like, "Go!"
Cold.
And you just have to like firm it for a few minutes, and then afterwards you'd be freezing again. Oh. I was like, "I'm firming up."
Yeah, man, that was chilly. I was obviously directing, so I had clothes on, but yeah, you were in trouble.
No coats, not much clothes, just cold.
I don't know what the worst scene I've had to film.
It's hard to pick.
There's been a few. But anything with water where your feet are getting wet and your clothes are wet and then you have to change and do it again. It's just horrible. So that stuff, Chesa. Another one from Tom in Crouch End. I know it's so expensive to go to the cinema near my house. It's like 15 quid for an adult ticket, but I want to support British films. How else? Mate, I don't know what to tell you, bro.
Find a Cineworld and get an unlimited ticket.
There you go. Find
£17.50
Cineworld.
£17.50 a month.
Thank you, Cineworld. You should now become
a
sponsor of this show, by the way, guys.
They should also give me my
start working on that
ticket for
Cineworld.
Free.
And you should get, you know what? I'm serious. You guys start looking at that. Get
also,
Lucy free tickets because Lucy is a film reviewer, and get Cineworld to sponsor the damn show.
I pay £17.50 a month, and I literally rinse the shit out of it.
Yeah.
I really do. I go twice a week, probably sometimes more.
So there you go, so Tom. That's a good advice for Tom.
Cineworld.
Tom,
but also a lot of cinemas have like a cheap night.
They
so
do.
Like, so find out which cinemas near you have your
cheap
night.
I'm not surprised Shanika knows that, by the way.
I'm frugal. That's why I am.
It's frugal. Is that what you call it?
Yes.
#Scrooge. So Tom, find your cheap night that Shanika could probably tell you about at your local,
or your deals.
Get your deals, like Lucy's got her Cineworld
unlimited card.
Yep. Alright, and then what else, Lucy? What else quickly?
What else have I been watching?
Yeah, Wonder Woman.
I haven't been to see that yet.
Is that
I will go this weekend.
Is it out this weekend?
I do sort of want to see it, but I kind of have to. Really.
No, I've got to see it.
I kind of want to see it, and I'm not like a Marvel fan.
I am,
DC,
but
DC.
I will. Yeah, it's,
I'm not DC. Kind of like a superhero comic book. Yeah. But I want to see it. I want to see a woman. It's been the first one.
And just quickly, before I go to a track, before we come back, now that you guys are here, what are we saying about this Jessica Chastain thing? What do you guys feel about the women not represented properly at Cannes?
I loved what she said. It was so eloquent and succinct, what she was saying, how she put it to the panel, and hopefully it will get people thinking, because she was talking about the fact that the representation of women, she'd watched so many films and it was really disturbing to her, the representation of the kinds of women that she was seeing in these films and not the kind of people that she knows in her real life. And I can totally relate to that, and I think
she always does a good job. She is very eloquent, and she knows her shit.
Yeah,
and
she's great.
She
love her.
Doesn't shy away from saying what she wants to say, does she? Yeah.
I think the key is more female writers and female directors.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
It's not
female directors, definitely.
I think that's a key component in this, because I bet you most of those films she watched were directed by men,
probably,
and written by men. And the thing is, I try. I've written 4:51. I've written Fast Girls. You know, I try. But if you're not, you guys know me, I'm a feminist and all that kind of shit, right? Mm. But you can't always, if you're not a woman, you can't always get it right.
And that's not
a stupid thing, as in because you're not gay and black, you can't write about gay and black
people.
Absolutely.
You can
write whatever you like, but there's certain nuances and certain things and certain things that you guys know that I just can't know.
Yeah.
But I think you do a good job, right?
You do a good job, and you do take on advice. If people are telling you something, you will listen and try and incorporate that, where I guess some of these other writers and directors think they know it all and won't.
And won't,
Yeah, so someone says, we're talking about the Betra-Wallace test, which you've talked about and said that even Brotherhood just about passed it. I see your little cheeky interview, man. I should text her about that. So the Betra-Wallace test asks whether a work of fiction features at least two women or girls who talk to each other about something other than a man or a boy.
Mm.
And I think, obviously, that stuff's important, but,
you
know, until we have more female directors and female writers that are writing female stories that men want to see as well as women...
But also commissioners as well, because as many female writers and directors as there are, if the commissioners are not putting them in a position where their films are getting made or getting funded and given that push, then they'll just be there still not being seen.
Alright, listen, I'm loving this. We're going to go to one more track and then we're going to come back for the last few minutes and wrap it all up, and this track is Window Shopper by 50 Cent from the film starring 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying.
So much better than the bottom. So much better. Maybe use a window shopper. Mad at me, I think I know why. Maybe use a window shopper. In the jewelry store, loving the shit you came by. Maybe use a window shopper. In the dealership, trying to get a test drive. Maybe use a window shopper. Mad as fuck when you see me ride by. Summertime, white Porsche Carrera is milky. I'm on the grind, let my paper stack, but I'm filthy. It's funny how niggas get the screw facing at me. Anyhow, they ain't got the heart to get at me. I get down south side, the hood that I come from. So I don't cruise through nobody hood without my gun. They know the kid ain't going for all that bullshit. Try and stick me, I'm a little for full clip. It ain't my fault, you done fucked up your re-up. At the dice game, who told you put a G up? Everybody mad when their paper don't stack right. But when I come around, y'all niggas better act right. When we got the tops down, you can hear the system thump. Nigga, when we rollin', check your block down. Quick to put a hole in the jump. Nigga, when we rollin', maybe use a window shopper. Mad at me, I think I know why. Nigga, use a window shopper. In the jewelry store, lookin' the shit you came by. Nigga, use a window shopper. In the dealership, tryna get a test drive. Nigga, use a window shopper. Mad as fuck when you see me ride by. Niggas love me in LA as soon as I pop in. They come and scoop me up at LAX and I hop in. And when it comes to bad bitches, you know I got them. Some from Long Beach, some from Watts, some from Compton. You know a nigga wanna see how Cali girls freak off. After that 5-hour flight from New York, I start spitting G at a bitch like a pimp, man. Tell her meet me at the Mondrian so we can do our thing. She can bring the lingerie with her, I suppose. So we can go from fully dressed to just having no clothes. So she can run and tell her best friend about my sex game. Now her best friend could potentially be next, man. Listen, man, shit changed. I came up, I'm doing my thing. Homie, I'm holding. Shit, man, the store on, I'm watching you. For something get stolen. Window shopper, mad at me, I think I know why. Nigga, use a window shopper. In the jewelry store, looking at shit you came by. Nigga, use a window shopper. In the dealership, trying to get a test drive. Nigga, use a window shopper.
Yes, 50 Cent. I'm cutting that early because we're just having a nice little chat in here. So, what? Just to end on, anything else we should be watching coming up? Netflix, anything like that?
Well, season 3 of a lovely TV show called Kingdom started.
Oh man, don't even get me. Do you know the weird thing is?
I love that show.
I love MMA, but I've yet to watch Kingdom because I don't want to get drawn in.
No,
I do. I'm an MMA fan. I do training.
I wasn't, but I am now.
I do training. I do the training. I got friends that are in MMA.
See, I know
my friend is the middleweight champion of the world, Michael
exactly.
Bisping.
Whenever I watch it, I think of you and I think, why the hell do you not watch it? But then I also flip it round and think, you know the world of MMA.
Yeah.
You know, and you love it so much and you might watch it.
How I met Michael originally was I wrote an MMA film. That's how I met him originally, which has never been made. And then since we've written a female one, completely different movie as well.
Which I would love to see.
But the male one, like we're looking at making these films. We're looking at making these films, so you know that's a hope that will happen.
Get on Kingdom if you can. The only issue is it's only on Virgin Media in this country. It's and also this is the final season as well. There was some corporate bullshit. It wasn't about ratings or anything.
I'm not even lying. I'm a Sky man. I'm a Sky Netflix.
Watching. What's that? American Gods?
Yeah, I started watching that.
You're liking it,
because,
aren't you?
Yeah, because Jonathan Tucker, who is in Kingdom,
right?
He was Loki Lysmith in the first episode of American Gods.
Well, you his wife or something like that.
I wish I was. I absolutely love him. But yeah, I stalk him, so I know what he does. And he's the reason why I started watching American Gods, and I'm glad I did, because then I discovered that Ricky Whittle's in it. Amazing. And I feel so proud of him, you know, coming from Hollyoaks and working so hard.
He's done well.
Now he's the star of the show. Like, amazing. What a cool guy.
Yeah.
And it's so weird and so messed up. And it's just amazing. I love it.
Yeah, it's so stylish.
It's very off-key. It's on Amazon, isn't it?
Yeah,
on Amazon Prime.
Oh, man, these people must think I'm just like shit money. Like, I want money to just be spending on all these.
Every streaming service.
Abby's got a hand.
But yeah, go on Kingdom if you can. It's the third and final season at the moment. But it's full of brilliantly choreographed fights and, you know, sex scenes and violence and drugs and all the good stuff you want, you know, from
your
show.
Yeah, we're going to do
and
that
good
after.
Drama.
I've got my computer here. Yeah, good drama. Okay, well, mate, listen. And just to sign off, how are we feeling about women in the industry and what do you want to see happen in the future?
I want to see more women in positions of power, like
definitely.
We were saying.
People.
But how do we get the girls there? How do we get them there?
I think there needs to be more initiatives, perhaps to encourage people into other positions in the industry rather than just
that they wouldn't normally pursue, and it's not normal, you know.
And knowing about the different roles that there are, like script supervisor, script editor, things like that. Knowing that
there are these roles, it's not just being in front of the camera, behind the camera going on,
other things that they can then
because women are still massively underrepresented.
Hugely.
In every section of the industry, which brings me full circle to why Emma Watson's award thing is not a good idea.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. I get where she's coming from, as I was saying. I get where she's coming from, but I think she is not taking into consideration her privileged position in the industry and all the people that are marginalised for whatever reasons, disability, race, sexuality. They're not going to be getting the same level that she'll be getting. So she might get nominated for these non-gender binary awards, but the other people are not, so
they're
just going
to
be forgotten. It's just going
to
be
women outnumbered 7-1
four men.
Women outnumbered 7-1
So
we love you, we love what you're doing, we love what you're about, we love your stances on a lot of things, but that is one thing we don't agree with. I think they need to have all the awards categories
definitely.
Just to make sure that people are actually getting what they need.
And guys, being recognized. Won the first one.
Exactly. Well, that's just politics, isn't it? But you know what, I love you guys. I'm actually really enjoying this show, and I could talk for another hour with you guys about this stuff, and maybe one day we should just do a show where we address these issues.
Yes,
but
definitely.
For right now, we got to sign off. Lucy Patterson, I love you. Thank you for coming
love
in.
You.
Shanika, I love you for years. I love you loads. You know me, my little sister.
No.
Thank you for coming in. I'm not happy that you were late.
I know, but I made it.
But now we're going to end with a song from a film, another film that you and I both star in. I directed. We all love. It's our main man Stormzy with Brotherhood from
Lovely.
Brotherhood. This has been Background Show, and I'm out, bitch.
Bye.
Look, yo, half your man them a locked up pistol, running butch,
running butch.
Them cold ass nights on the strip never done him good,
done him good.
Ride for my team and I ride like my brothers would,
brothers would.
And we don't do friends round here man it's brotherhood,
brotherhood.
We don't do friends round here it's brotherhood,
brotherhood.
We don't do friends round here it's brotherhood,
brotherhood.
We don't do friends round here it's brotherhood,
brotherhood.
We don't do friends round here it's brotherhood.
Yeah, welcome to hell. Bring your G-man, he's welcome as well. Tell police to release for my team, do it ASAP, for I come felt on myself. So tell me, why do you draw me out? I keep on guard when I walk about. Old school beef for some old school use, but I'm real old school. I'll sort them out, I just done some things that I never intended. Fucked up streets, that's fucked up beef, that's never been ended. I won't act like I've never been tempted. Grab my gun and go to war. To grab my gun with no remorse. To catch the U and blow my torch. To kill the prick and go to court. Who cares who you done back then? Round here, young G's don't think twice. Come to your block with a Big Mac 10. Yo, fuck boy, should've stayed inside. Man, don't care what your name on the road. Don't come round here thinking you're tough. We don't care what you done in 06. Just know real niggas pull your bluff. Yeah. Half your man, them a locked up pistol, running butch.
Running butch.
Them cold ass nights on the strip, never done him good.
Done him good.
Ride for my team, and I ride like my brothers would.
Brothers would.
And we don't do friends round here, man, it's brotherhood.
Brotherhood.
We don't do friends round here, it's brotherhood.
Brotherhood.
We don't do friends round here, it's brotherhood.
Brotherhood.
We don't do friends round here, it's brotherhood.
Brotherhood.